You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
We're glad you're here. And if you have any questions about this group, just ask me and I'll lie to you. Okay. Anyhow, we're glad you're here. We're glad everybody got to come. We want you to get to come. And so we appreciate you being here. But when Brother Charles comes to sing, we won't be in here long. And we don't get up and move around. Y'all are all adults, so you don't need to be going to the bathroom. You've grown. And so we make it. And then as soon as we're through in here, the refreshment bar will be reopened. And you can just eat and drink all you want to, and that'd be a good time if you got any needs to check with somebody and say, who do I talk to about this or who do I talk to about that, if we hadn't already done it. Brother Charles, come on.
Thank you, Leila. I tell y'all, thank you. Man, I could just sit down right now. Thank y'all so much. They say old people are hot all the time, or cold all the time, but if you notice, I got a little fan back here, but I'm thinking real serious about getting a bigger one because I'm hot all the time. I think it's because I have such a wonderful time at the rec room. I thank God for this. When Leland first asked me to do it before they started, I said, oh, yeah, I'll be glad to. Once in a while, but I need to get somebody else too because I don't think I can make it all that often. But I might miss 3 Thursdays a year, I think. I love the rec room as much as any of these other folks that come and help, and I'm so thankful for Leland's heart and the other people that started it and those that come and help every week. There are lots of people that care about you folks. And I'm just one. You probably see me more, but I'm just one. And as the Apostle Paul said, I'm not anywhere near that, but I am the least. I really just feel honored that God allows me to do this. And if y'all saw the news tonight, doesn't it make you sick? There's somebody killing somebody. There's somebody hurting somebody. There's somebody stealing everybody else's stuff. This world is trouble, friends. It's trouble, and it's going to get worse instead of better. But this week, since we had another privilege of celebrating July the 4th, our Independence Day, and I know many of you, you've had trouble with the system, you've had trouble with your life and all, but to me, you're my brothers and my sisters in the world as human beings. But if you know the Lord Jesus, you're my brother or my sister by blood and Him. And we don't do a lot of patriotic songs. We do gospel songs in here. But this one is kind of one of part of each. And I really pray that I can do it justice tonight. I'm proud to be an American. I am. If tomorrow everything was gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I'd thank the Lord above that I'm still living here today, 'cause our flag still stands for freedom. They can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget all those that died to get that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you. you and defend her still today. 'Cause there's no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota, start now. From the lakes of Minnesota to the shores of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to L.A., there's pride in every American heart, and we all can stand and say, that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm still free. And I won't forget all those that died who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there's no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget all those that died who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. There's no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. God bless the USA.
Amen. Thank you, Charles. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew for a moment. We're going to end up in the book of Luke, chapter 23. That'll be our main place. And if you'd like to follow along, and I hope you do, but if you'd like to do that and don't have a Bible, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. All right. We got some hands up here. Let me say this about those Bibles. If you're here without a Bible, you just keep that one as the Rec Room's gift to you. We'd like for you to have it. Got a couple here. You out of Bibles? Okay, then look over somebody's shoulder. All right. We'll have more next week. Okay. What we're talking about last week, we started a little series just called The Seven Sayings of Jesus Christ on the Cross. And we talked about the first one, which he prayed for the sinners. First thing he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. The second saying had to do with him saving a sinner. That's the reason Jesus came. The Bible said that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, at the cross, there's a lot of tradition that's not necessarily true. And I won't talk to you just a moment about that and help you get that right. But we always hear about Jesus saving the thief on the cross. That never happened. Jesus saved the malefactor on the cross. We'll find there were two thieves and two malefactors. All thieves are malefactors. They're like a felon. They're like the word we'd use be criminal or felon. Sir? Yeah. All right. Very good. Just what I'll go told you. Anyhow, but all malefactors are not thieves, as you well know. We do a lot of other stuff sometimes. But I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Matthew. just for a moment and look at verse 35, Matthew chapter 35, Matthew 27, verse 35, I'm sorry. It said they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. That was prophesied in the book of Psalms. And sitting down, they watched him and set over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then, notice, after they've gambled for his clothes, then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. They put two thieves on the cross after. Now then go with me to the book of Luke, where we're going to spend most of our time. And in Luke chapter 23, we'll start in verse 32. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, one on the left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Notice the malefactors are put on the cross before they cast lots. Thieves are put on there after. Now, that explains a verse over in John, if you turn there with me, please, that a lot of people have trouble with and try to explain it away or don't know what to do with it. John chapter 19. And in verse 32 and 33, John 19, verse 32 said, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus..." Now let me tell you something. This is a hot afternoon. It's hard on the soldiers, probably worse than anybody except those being crucified. Number one, nobody walked up and volunteered and laid down on the cross and say, "Drive them nails in my hands and my feet." You can rest assured they're fighting for everything they can do. So it takes some guards to put one man on the cross. Then they've got to pick up that cross with somebody on it and drop it in the hole so they can be hanging up there on the cross. Let me tell you, after all of this, you can rest assured that this soldier, who's probably give up now, is not going to go here, then walk over to here, and then come back to here. He did just what he said. That's because there's at least five people on crosses. He goes to one, he goes to other, and then he comes to Jesus. He goes to a malefactor, he goes to a thief, and then he goes to Jesus. So all of this tradition about the thief on the cross, we got, we're looking at least, and there could have been more people on the cross. Bible doesn't say, but we know there were five of them. So we're going to stay with this and keep that in mind. Also, if you hold your finger in Luke 23, if you go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, I want you to notice verse 12. It said, "Therefore," this is a prophecy, 700 years before Jesus died on that cross. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors." He was numbered with the felons. He's numbered with the criminals. He's numbered with the thieves. He was born surrounded by animals, and he dies surrounded by thieves and malefactors, by criminals. Now, so we've got what has taken place. We've got two malefactors, two thieves, in Christ. So turn with me now back to Luke 23, and let's start reading at verse 35. It said, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is Jesus, or this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Both of the thieves railed on him. One of the malefactors did. If you're really Jesus, you save yourself. Come down from here. We need help. But the other malefactor, that other criminal, that other felon, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And notice what he said about that. And we indeed justly, we're getting what we got coming to us. He said, we ought to die. What we've committed, and it doesn't say what their crime was, but we've earned this. This is right for us. He said, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He realized his own sinfulness. He realized Christ's sinlessness, that Christ was innocent. A lot of innocent people. All of us innocent people have been really messed up by the system. I don't know why they always pick on innocent folks. He just nails it. He said, we're getting what we got coming to us. And then he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And here's Jesus' second statement on the cross. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Think about the situation. They're dying. Five people, at least, on the cross. They're talking among themselves. And they're close enough to each other. They can hear each other. All of them are dying. All of them are suffering. All of the criminals, thieves and malefactors, need forgiveness. All of the criminals and malefactors heard and saw the same thing. And yet one went to heaven, three went to hell. One paid attention, three didn't. One responded, three didn't. Let me tell you something. Things hadn't changed a bit. You'll do the same thing tonight in here. You'll all hear the very same message. And at the end of this message, some of you will respond to Jesus Christ. But most of you won't. We'll put it off. We'll say not now. Whatever the case might be, I'm not ready. Somebody said this, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We're always going to. One fellow said, well, I'm gonna wait like that malefactor. I'll wait till I'm on my deathbed. You know what? 90% of all the people don't have a deathbed. How many funerals you been to and the people died in bed? Yeah, we're not going to have any deathbed, most of us. That didn't happen to many. This is the only case in the Bible, by the way, where there's a deathbed conversion. Somebody said there was at least one, so you can know God to do it, but there's only one because you know he probably ain't. So this salvation to this guy, and remember who he is, was all grace. Here's a man hanging on the cross who cannot walk the Christian walk because he's got nails in his feet. He cannot do anything for Jesus because he's got nails in his hand. He can't live for God because he's dying. This is his situation. He recognized he's sinful. He's recognized that Christ isn't. Prior to this, about this very same thing, Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, one of the apostles who betrayed Jesus Christ, he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Pilate, the governor, examined this man three times and said, "I find no fault in him." Notice what the malefactor requested. Look there at verse 42. He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Notice something about this guy, what he knew. In fact, I wonder how he knew Christ was a king. Because as far as we know, this man may have never seen Jesus Christ before this very day. He lived with, like all probability, his lifestyle wasn't at the temple. He's somebody that's committed a horrible, horrible crime. And so he didn't run with that group. How do you know he was a king? You remember what they put a sign over Jesus' head on that cross? You remember what it said? Somebody tell me what it said. Yeah, he's king of the Jews. He read it. The Bible said, you don't get faith by seeing stuff. Everybody wants to see something. Show me a miracle. The other malefactor and the thief said, come down, show us something. Come down from the cross, save us. Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He read it and believed it. And he said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Also, it indicates to us that he also knew that there was life after death, didn't he? And we know that. Deep down in our gut, we know it. We can try to outthink God. We can try to get an education that would disprove that. But we know. We know that when we leave this world, it ain't over. This old body dies, but you and me are going to live on, either in heaven or hell. We'll just constantly be there. He also knew Christ could help him. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew Christ could help him. And I like this. He also knew Christ was coming back. Jesus is going to come back to this earth. We're seeing a world that's gone crazy. We're seeing in America that in a few short years has just about ruined itself. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can stick a fork in us because we're done. And I don't care who gets elected and who doesn't. We're in trouble. But the truth of the matter, God told us that all along. Nothing is happening that God didn't foretell anyway. He told us this was going to happen over and over and over. And here we finally got a guy that believes him. Christ can help me. He's coming back. There's life after death. Remember me. Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest like him. He didn't say, look, do me good He just turned it over to the Lord. Jesus became his Lord, and he said, remember me. Do what you want to do. Just remember me. And here's Jesus' answer. Here's the second saying. Today. Now notice, we're not talking about tomorrow. We're not talking about down the road somewhere. We're not talking about off in eternity. Today. Here's a man. He's talking to a man that had no moral life before today, and he'll have no spiritual life that he can live on this earth after today. He's dying. This day, this man is dying, and Jesus said, today. No probation. I said, wait a minute, he can't be baptized. Huh. You think Jesus didn't know that? Well, he can't join the church. You think Jesus didn't know that? He can't keep the last rites. He can't do this or that. Keep communion. He can't get religious. This is it, people. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be. We're settling it today. I'm going to tell you something. That's why, this is one of the reasons that I love the rec room, because we can settle your eternity today. We don't have to mess around with it tomorrow. You don't have to take courses. You don't have to pass some kind of class. You don't have to do any of that. We can settle it today. Jesus said you can get it settled today. Today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Somebody says, well, you didn't explain paradise to him. Just let me tell you this, beats hell out of hell. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thou shalt be with me. One of these days, I'm going to get to be with Jesus. And I don't have any right to do that. My life before I was saved was pathetic, and my life since I've been saved been pretty pathetic. But I'm going to get to be with Jesus. And wherever he is. You know what Jesus said? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go again to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you into myself. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that he can take us out of the muck and in our classes this week, we talk about a prodigal son and his time in the hog pen. Everybody in here has got your hog pen experience. Everybody in here has woke up someplace that you hope to God nobody finds out you woke up there. Everybody in here has done some thinking. Everybody in here has made God some promises. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. And everybody in here has broke every one of them. We have. We might have kept them for 3 days. But we're not. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't break any of his. Today, you can be with him in paradise. I want you to bow your heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around for a moment. And you're here tonight, and you are in the position in your life where that malefactor was. And you need some help. Jesus Christ come to seek and to save the lost. Tonight, this day, he wants to save you. And you say, Leland, I want to be saved tonight. I'm tired of this. I want to be saved tonight. Would you slip your hand up? Nobody looking around, head bowed. I want to be saved. God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else, real quickly? I want to be saved. Yes, I see your hand. And yours, sir. Yes, yeah, and at the back. Yes, sir. You slip on back down once I've recognized you. I want to be saved tonight. I want to know that I'm going to be with Jesus in paradise. Anyone else, real quickly? Pray for me, Leland. Godly, I see your hand. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm getting ready to pray. While I'm praying, here's what the Bible very plainly says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It starts with your mouth. It all happens in your heart. Then very simply, he wrapped it up. Two verses later, he says it just like this. And listen to me carefully. For whosoever, that means anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's something you can do anywhere, anytime. Shall be saved. I'm going to invite you down here at the front. Somebody will meet with you and show you those very things in the Bible. And tonight, you can be saved. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed? Our Father, we pray tonight for those that lifted their hands, and we pray for those that should have. And that, Father, they'd get it solved tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you come on the very first verse, just as I am? Come on. I want to be saved tonight. Would you come? Yes, sir. Come right on. God bless you. Come on. Yes, sir. Come on. Step out. Come on. Today is the day of salvation, and today you can know that. Come on, you lifted your hand, take the next step. Come right on. Come on, yes, sir. Come on. Tonight,
to you,
yes, come right on.
Whose blood can cleanse each spot?
Come on,
Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Just as I am,
just as
the malefactor, couldn't live it, couldn't do anything. All grace tonight, Jesus Christ invites you to spend eternity with him. Make that decision tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Charles to sing one more verse, and we'll be through. Regardless of whether you come or not, we'll be through.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.